managing inventory is tough. You know, as you start to grow and you get to a certain level, it's one of the biggest hurdles. I did a Christmas that I just was like, there's no way I can do this myself anymore. And I was working out of my house. We decided to use a you know, what you would hear of as a 3PL, so a fulfillment center.
What questions should they be asking them when they're trying to find someone like that?
I just want to say, like, I don't think David could have picked a better spot for us to sit around and talk about e-commerce and building a brand. Like, yesterday, we watched wild horses walk out into the water and eat and drink. And then today, we had a group of dolphins.
Come through right there.
It's like,
forget the pirate ship.
There's a pirate ship,
and he has his little boat that he goes around.
How often do you think he actually works over here? Do you think David does any work?
It would be easy to get distracted.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. But it's calming. Looking at the water, it's calming. You
That's
know?
True. It's very grounding. Yep. I noticed
That's
that.
Where he comes up with new ideas for product.
Absolutely.
The dolphins.
Well, when you get new product, you have to source it. And I think that's kind of what we're going to roll into today. So
yeah. Tell us about this product sourcing thing. What is it? And for you, how did it work?
Yep. So for us, you know, we were using a global trade broker. And so this is somebody that works with factories. They have relationships with factories, you know, all around the world and for lots of different products. And there's, you know, different global trade brokers that specialize in different, you know, areas of manufacturing and sourcing of products. And so, you know, if you have a product that you're looking to source, that can be a good option where, you know, a lot of times if you're just reaching out to somebody on, you know, Alibaba or, you know, one of these websites, you don't really know who you're speaking with, but that global trade broker will take a lot of that risk and, you know, they have those established relationships and you can work with them. However, the downside is that you're going to pay about, you know, roughly 10% or so, you know, of whatever you're ordering. So you have $100,000 worth of inventory, you know, you're going to pay, you know, $110,000 total for that. So
any minimums usually with them, like for you, at what point do you say, you know, I'd probably need this?
Yeah. I mean, it was
need 100K worth of product, 20K. What is it like?
It was much smaller than that, of course, you know, to begin with. So, I mean, you know, I think $5,000 or $10,000 worth of product, and they were happy. And even now, you know, we work with that same global trade broker to source some of our bags, and they just, you know, we have a good price on them, and it's worth still going through it with them. But that's a very, very small invoices, so they obviously don't mind to work for, you know, smaller invoices.
And go to the negative side. If you don't use one of those people you don't know, mm-hmm. you send them your money.
Oh.
And you hope that you get the product.
Hold your breath.
You send them a third down. You give mm-hmm. them a third when they say that it's done.
Yep.
And then a third when it hits the dock.
Yep.
Well, I know of at least 50 store owners that have made those two thirds payments and it never reached the dock.
Wow. So that's unfortunate.
Do that on a couple cartons of goods. You saying that 10%, I think to myself, like, okay, on $100,000, you spent $110,000, so you have 5 orders that cost you $50,000 total, but you got all 5 of your orders.
Exactly.
They spent 50 grand and never got a single thing, and then they had to buy it again, and they're 3 months, you know, 30 days more or longer behind.
Yep. And so what eventually happened, you know, we worked with that global trade broker, and then factories start reaching out, you know, so they're starting to see that you're, you know, selling, you know, product that they're making, and so they start reaching out. And so, you know, that's eventually how we ended up working with who we, you know, currently work with our manufacturer and have been with him for, you know, 8+ years, at least. So I named my dog after him. That's how much I love him.
That's awesome.
He's amazing. Love.
That's awesome.
It is. I say it every day, 100 times a day.
That's cool. You using that trade broker, you get your product in. Now, what are you doing with inventory? How do you do this? Like, people think, oh, you know, David's probably got a little room back here in the corner where he keeps all the belts, and the order comes in, and him and his team get together. And obviously, there's different methods for different people, but for you, how do you hold and use inventory?
Yeah. So, I mean, when we started, I was doing all the fulfilling. So at first my father was doing it out of his condo, you know, and then I was doing it out of my basement.
And when you say fulfilling, please kind of.
So fulfilling means, you know, packing up the order, getting the product together, putting it into your packaging, packing up the order. And for us, you know, that meant, you know, putting a wax stamp and all that stuff for the packaging. And so I finally, you know, I did a Christmas that I just was like, there's no way I can do this myself anymore. And I was working out of my house. So at that point, you either have the option of, you know, continuing on and trying to build a facility and then, you know, having employees that are going to help you and run a warehouse and all of that overhead. And so, you know, we really, you know, kind of did the math. And when we were doing, you know, the numbers that we were at that time, it really didn't make sense, excuse me, to take on an entire, you know, fulfillment or an entire warehouse where we're, you know, having that many employees. Yeah, a lot of costs and a lot of risk with that. So we decided to use a you know, what you would hear of as a 3PL. So a fulfillment center that, you know, basically does all of your fulfilling. They store your product. They do all the picking and packing, which basically means, you know, picking the product off the shelf, packing it into the boxes, and then shipping it out. So they're responsible for all of the orders that they come into our, you know, in through our system. It you know, flows through to them. They know what's on each order, where to send it, and you know, they work on that on a, you know, on a daily basis, or, you know, 5 days a week.
Curiosity, the number of orders you do is significant now. What is their like misship or error percentage?
It is really low. I mean, super low. You know, the biggest thing that will happen is like there'll be, you know, two of something that was ordered, like two of a particular product that was ordered, and somebody just misses that they should have sent two instead of one. So that's the biggest thing. But as far as, you know, different or wrong products, it's so few and far between that, you know, so much so that, you know, we like to get an image because it's like a lot of times it may be, you know,
they, a misunderstanding.
Yeah, exactly. So,
okay.
Yeah. So they have a really, you know, really good track record.
And that matters in your fulfillment center. So that is, I think that's a question that people should ask when they're looking.
Absolutely.
Like, what is your statistical?
And they'll usually tell you, I mean, they know the guys that really have it dialed in, they know that I have the 99.1, you know, misship rate, something like that.
So those are questions people should ask a fulfillment center. Yep. Like some of those are the kind of, what questions should they be asking them when they're trying to find someone like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to need to look at, you know, what's it going to take for storage? You know, what kind of other administrative
are there hidden fees?
Yeah,
right? Absolutely. Like, and what are some of those hidden fees that people don't think about at all?
Well,
just curious.
They will charge you for storage, unless you can get them. Where if you are doing enough orders, that then they're like
pushing it through.
They're rotating that space through. Then they consider it okay. You're going to pay a minimum charge, like, for the square footage until you get to a certain number of orders per day. Yeah. Once you hit that number.
And a lot of times it'll be by pallet size as well. You know, however many pallets.
Yeah, how much space you're taking up. Yeah.
And so.
Does that come into the planning that you have, what you're bringing in then, as far as any of that strategy?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of like we need it. And
I think early on probably, but at his point, spot.
You know, so thinking about that, how important is it to build those relationships with those that you trust, from supplier all the way through the fulfillment center, and keeping that quality? And by, in your case, I feel like you've got it dialed in pretty good. Tell us a little bit about that, and what does that allow you to do as a business owner then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, having that relationship with your supplier is crucial, you know, to have that trust that I have with him and he has with us. And so, you know, there's a lot of benefits to that, you know, whether it's, you know, leeway with invoices or, you know, things like that. And, you know, he's really helped us a lot with that. Or if it's, you know, working with a fulfillment center and, you know, them understanding you and how you do things and what you expect. And, you know, so quality control, you know, is a big deal.
So are they the one that dings the product it comes in? So say you make an order, it goes directly to them. Are they the ones kind of going through it? Are they the one that notify you like, hey man, we got a batch here that just don't look right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like trust.
If you think about it, he could do everything perfect in his business. Yep. And if they mess up.
Yep. That's, or if they don't let us know that, hey, you know, we get a shipment in and there's scratches on the straps, and, you know, and that's even happened recently. So they basically, you know, they'll notice on the floor, hey, we're coming across a lot of these, and so we need to notify Anson. And so they'll reach out and show us pictures, and we'll say, okay, now we need to, you know, do a work order and pull, you know, all the ones that are damaged and figure out, you know, which ones are good and which ones are bad. And then let your supplier know, you know, hopefully a lot of these suppliers will work with you, you know, for damaged product. I mean, we've been lucky enough that they've always replaced anything that was messed up, you know. And so, and then, you know, like we've talked about before, you'll eventually kind of train them on what you expect. And then those will really start to decrease because they don't like to replace them, you know. So
managing inventory, you know, thinking about, okay, so now you've decided this is how you're going to manage your inventory. This is how you're going to hold it. This is who you're going to partner with. Now, and now, like, figuring out, You know, what is my product one? When should I have more? When should I have less? Like, talk about what in the world that means. Like, what does that mean if you're ordering things overseas? How long does it take to get here? Like, when are you planning for things? Like, all that process a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's, managing inventory is tough. That's one of the, you know, as you start to grow and you get to a certain level, it's one of the biggest, you know, hurdles and one of the biggest, you know, one of our biggest challenges is trying to make sure that, you know, we have enough inventory, because you have to be thinking about it months ahead of time. And because for one, you want to get it sent by sea. So you don't want to have to get it sent by air.
Air is too much.
Much, much cheaper to get it sent by sea. So you need to be forecasting this stuff, you know, 3-4 months in advance, knowing that, okay, this is what's coming up. You know, so we're already, you know, our Christmas order's in. I mean, we've, you know, have thought about that a long time ago. And so it's, you've got to, you know, to know what you have so that you can know what you can work with. And a great example of that is this last Christmas. We just had an incredible Christmas. We blew it out of the water and really kind of broke the system, because, you know, eventually our, you know, we were kind of flying blind for a little bit. Our fulfillment center, you know, you put all this trust in them, and, you know, they have problems too. You know, they're a business. Sure. And they have, you know, things that can come up. And so, you know, something on their end wasn't working correctly, and we were kind of flying blind for a few days on inventory. And so, you know, had a lot of logistical nightmares that come with that. And, you know, so we had to, you know, it was really, you know, a customer service kind of, you know, it was, you know, all hands on deck to make sure that all of our customers were, you know, aware of what was going on and how we were going to make it right. And then, you know, trying to figure out, okay, you know, how do we prevent this in the future? And I really, I realized that, you know, you're only going to be able to sell as much inventory as you have, you know, so we, and that's kind of a novel idea, but, you know, we always, as a marketer and someone that, you know, I'm always trying to get sales, it's like, you know, you want to push and push and push and push, and like, okay, they're coming, they're, you know, and then it's like, wow, you know, if you, something like that happens then and it breaks, and, you know, then it can be a mess. But if it had, you know, if their systems, you know, had gone as planned, then it wouldn't. But, you know, stuff like that's going to happen. So, yeah, you got to be.
So when things break like this, what did you learn from it? Like when it all broke down like that, what did you learn from it? One, I'll never run out of inventory.
Yeah, I mean,
like, what were the things that you learned from both from a organizational process to a front facing to your customer process that you hadn't experienced quite that before?
No,
right?
No, nothing quite like that. And, you know, I mean, the biggest thing is knowing, okay, how much inventory you have so you can know how much you can do daily. So you really have to say, okay, we're not going to be getting in another shipment until, you know, the end of January or whatever it may be. You know, so if you're working over the holidays and you know that you're not going to get another shipment until then, you have to kind of divide up, okay, how much in sales, you know, can we do? How much in inventory do we have, you know, in wholesale inventory? How much in sales can we do in order to do that, you know, whatever it is a day, you can do that for the next, you know, 30, 45 days until that shipment comes in. And that's something that we never really broke down that granular of saying, okay, we can't do more than, you know, X amount a day, you know, for the next 15 days. It's not sustainable. You know,
we're
going to be out. And then when you run out of buckles, in our case, you know, you don't sell many belts. So it was, you know, a lesson in understanding what you have to work with before you just go, you know, completely, you know, pedal to the metal and really, you know, push it hard. You really have to know what you have to work with. So now, you know, moving forward, we're really going to take a look at what can we do daily, you know, what can we sustain, and, you know, how much inventory we have. So,
cool. Any takeaways? Any final thoughts on this, Matt? David?
No, I know that us helping brands at scale, that's the topic that comes up a lot. And if you're not conscious of it, you create a customer service nightmare that just actually implodes. And so growth is awesome, but it can also be really dangerous.
Yep.
And so slow, sustainable, slow and steady, like you said, is great. There is ways to speed it up or make it a little quicker and steady, but yep. For sure, people that just go pedal to the metal without forecasting and doing those other things, bad things happen to good people. So you can have a great business and make some bad decisions, and it's going to affect you long term.
Yeah, and I think that how you handle that situation and how you handle the, you know, whatever issue it is, you know, we had customers I was speaking with, and they're like, you know, look, hey, no problem. You know, I understand things happen, but it's how you handle it, you know, and make it right that matters. And they're like, and you did a great job. So
manage expectations.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yep. Communication to your customer is the biggest. I mean, that's key. That's the,
yeah. And even once he sold out, we changed the the languaging on the site. So
yep, people to make knew it clear that, you know,
when they were buying, they weren't going to get it for X amount of time. And so they weren't buying it. And then, hey, where's my order?
Yep. We weren't even selling at that point anything that was out of stock, but kind of letting them know that you were currently out of buckles is you know, some of the messaging that
something you thought you'd never say.
Yeah. So, you know, when to expect more. So
cool. That's it, man. Yeah.